From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of February 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. Dave Hightower of the Hightower Report will be here to promote his event this evening and talk about the marketplace. Hightower will be in Mattoon at 6:30 at the Day's Inn tonight. Dave Dickey will be here to look at the agricultural news, and we'll hear from him about tonight's event at the Farm Credit Services building in Mahomet. He'll be there along with the WILL Ag panel, including Kurt Kimmel, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzolo. We'll look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner, hear about the cash grain segment with the folks at the Andersons from Delphi, Indiana. And if that's not enough, I'll preview for you the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair. That takes place this coming Saturday at Joliet Junior College in Joliet. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
On this Wednesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day higher. The nearby contract in the wheat pit at 674 and a quarter, up 8 and a quarter. The May at 687 and a half, up 7 and a quarter. And July at $6.97 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter. The hard red in Kansas City at 7:30, 8 and a quarter, up 6 and 3 quarters for the day. March corn, $6.42, 3 higher. The May at 6:48 and a quarter, up 3. And July corn futures 6:51 and 3 quarters, up 3 cents. September at 5:98 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarters. And December 5:76 and 3 quarters, up 7 and a quarter. Next year's March at $5.88 and a half for the 2013 year, up 6 cents for the day. March bean futures at 12:15 and a quarter, up 16. And a quarter. May at 12:24 and a quarter, up 15 and 3 quarters. July $12.32 and 3 quarters, 14 and 3 quarters higher. August beans at 12:30 and a half, up 14 and a half. In November, $12.18 and a quarter, up 16 and 3 quarters. Bean meal finished at $3.22.30, up $3. And the bean oil on the day at $51.18, up 31 cents. Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures at 129.22 and a half, 65 cents higher in the April. The April feeders at 158.22 and a half, up 60, and the April lean hogs for the day at $90.35, up $1.47 and a half cents. Hey, dial this number, 217-333-7300, for your tickets to our all-day ag outlook. More on that in just a minute. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $97.63 a barrel, down 85 cents. Ethanol at 216 and 9 tenths, that's up 2 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at 237, 13 and 3 tenths lower. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $3 and a nickel, just about unchanged on the day. And the gold futures at $1,747.10 a troy ounce, up $9.30. The U.S. dollar at 78.91, down 0.37 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for Urbana-Champaign. This evening, partly cloudy skies, a low of 30 degrees with a north wind at about 5 miles an hour. Thursday, sunny, a high of 52. Thursday night, cloudy and a low of 31. Friday, partly sunny and 53. Friday night, rain likely, cloudy, a low of 37. The chance of rain on Friday evening set at 70%. Saturday, rain likely as well. Cloudy and a high near 45 degrees. Chance of rain on Saturday during the day, 60%. Saturday evening, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low of 35. Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high of 43 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 29. And Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Monday night, partly cloudy, at a low of 28. Tuesday, mostly sunny, at a high of 39 degrees. Tonight, if you'd like, you make your way to Mahomet, Illinois. You can visit with Dan Zwicker and Kurt Kimmel and Mike Zuzolo. They'll be at the Farm Credit Services building there at the corner of Prairie View Road and Interstate 74. It's really easy to get to. That's open to everybody. The meeting starts about 6:45. It's part of the WILL Ag Outlook meetings. This one, of course, a panel. And we'll talk to you more about that one just a bit later as well. We'll be talking about the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois is with us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Just very quickly, for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting, we are in our fourth day of sales. We sell about 350 tickets for that event. They're $25 a piece. When I checked just before we started to go on the air, 109 of those left. So if you haven't looked at it online at WILLAG.org, you haven't bought a ticket yet, you might want to dial in at this number if you're planning on going at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. It's a great day, fantastic day to come out and see all the analysts that are on our air, including our own Paul Cooley, who's here each and every Wednesday and has been, well, like me, I suppose, for a couple of decades over time. And you more often than me, Paul. So thank you so much for the time that you spend with us. Why don't you take us through what happened in the marketplace today?
Well, it was a stronger market in the evening, and we got reports that wheat was sold in the export market, 120,000 tons, I think it was, and also about 120,000 tons of soybeans to China. The wheat was new crop, and of course there's this continuing jawboning that there's some winter kill in the Russian-Ukraine wheat areas, and of course with an inch of snow and sub-zero weathers, the debate goes on. The meteorologist that I have the most confidence in says it's a no problem. There's other people that say there's 15% of the wheat crop hurt and 20% of the barley crop, winter barley crop hurt. The dollar is weaker. Gold and silver is higher. Crude oil's down. O'Brien Commodities, one of their customers bought 10,000 $7 May corn calls. And the price of that was somewhere between 14 and a quarter to 17 and a quarter in the trading range. Forecasters is mixed, but the one I have the most confidence in says good rains in Argentina and southern Brazil. And this is like August the 1st down there. Ethanol margins seem to be rough. Biodiesel, soybean oil, is the usage is down a little bit. But in the meantime, the market closed extremely well in Chicago.
Yeah, this despite the fact that there seems to be an awful lot of bearish information that's rolling around. Do you suppose that the market is correct with its bearish information at this point?
Well, you know, it was the start of the month, and I'm sure the Chinese had some business to buy. The farmers are very strong holders of corn, old and new. One question I heard yesterday evening, is it because the farmers have built so much grain storage in the Midwest? Is that the main factor that the corn basis is strong as it is? And I guess the one thing I think is that they think the price of corn is just plain too cheap, both old and new.
That's a good question. Is it?
Well, if I always hate this, you know, to criticize. It's sort of like the 11th commandment. We don't want to ever criticize our farmer customers because that's not very smart. But they've done a pretty good job of fighting some of the fundamentals in here. My impression is a few weeks ago, I didn't think we'd see a 650 market, and it's very close to that right. In the marketplace. I don't think we're going to see a $7 market at this time. I think there's just too many fundamental factors. Now, can a farmer sell new crop corn above $6? Oh, I wouldn't bet against it, but it'll be long, you know, a fairly long period of time, sometime in the summer, planting weather or summer weather that'll force that issue.
There have been some that are saying that an acreage battle, which must ensue in order to assure that there are enough corn acres around.
Oh, that when you just give somebody a D minus to an F on,
yeah,
because that's not going to even that. And bean acres and wheat acres are abundant, not only here in the U.S. and the world. And I'm going to give somebody a D or an F on that term paper.
Yeah, I don't even remember where I saw it, but I saw it.
We're not going to have to bid for anything as far as acres, because there's just, you know, $100 an acre premium corn over beans. The acreage, we had so many prevented planted acreage last year. Production agriculture, there's going to be a ton of seed corn, and that one's not a good argument as of February 1st.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much for taking the time.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. But I thought I better get out of that before he decided to give me a D-minus as well. Hey, Paul will be at our All Day Ag Outlook meeting, and you can get your tickets right now. Find out more at willag.org. Dial in at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. We've only had them up for sale, really, for 4 days. This is the fourth one. About two-thirds of them are gone, so dial in right now.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason. Earlier today, I had a discussion with Dave Hightower of the Hightower Report. You might recall that he was on our Commodity Week program a couple of weeks ago. I talked to him about what he was going to discuss this evening at the Days Inn in Mattoon. He'll be there at 6:30. That one's open, so you can go ahead and see him in person if you'd like. And I started that discussion with this question. What exactly is it that you think USDA might do to react to the way the trade has perceived the lack of corn in the countryside in the next set of reports? Will those numbers change? He doesn't really think that'll happen.
I'm not sure. They seem to have a hesitancy to do that recently. I think they're going to kind of try and stick to their models. In terms of forecasting crop size, ending stocks, and so forth, there could be some indications with the basis that perhaps Argentina's running out of ammunition, and that could shift a little bit more demand. We've already seen some of the demand improve on the West Coast. But keep in mind, we're coming from a very dismal negative demand track, so it doesn't take much to improve that.
It doesn't take much to improve that. When you talk to the folks this evening in Mattoon, what will you tell them? Do we have a preview from you?
Well, I would say that the negative information seems to be ready to be front-loaded this year, that big acres, suspicious demand, all kinds of lofty ending stocks projections, and certainly a huge corn to soybean profitability means that all those bearish stories are going to be given a lot of credence, at least I think, for the first 3 months of the year, and then that'll begin to change as we go through. But I'm also going to set that against a background of demand throughout the world, China, economic activities, all I think a lot better than perhaps the trade's giving credit for. So I'm kind of expecting a low early in the year, maybe followed by a grind higher later in the year.
That would do well for the new crop corn. Old crop, generally speaking, it's been said if the market wants corn, you probably should reward it. Is there a reason for a producer not to reward the current marketplace with corn?
No, I think there's always, there's always prudence. You have to have some kind of marketing plan. I'm a big proponent of kind of alleviating, moving the cash down, and if you feel like you want to replace that with some long element, you can do that, and at least in a more risk-controlled way, and then you don't have as much psychological attachment. But, the 20 and 30 cents down from here, I think I would become a very stubborn holder of corn. And the rest of it comes down to each individual and what they feel they need from cash flow basis.
How soon would you empty out a bin?
Well, I probably at this juncture, I think personally, we're close enough to the lows that I would probably be holding through the spring. But I mean, this, encountering a 30 or 40 cent downdraft here in the next 2.5 months is certainly a distinct possibility, and so that may be. Some people may not want to go through that, so they might. I think they might want to move the grain now and replace it with something long option or so forth in the next 2 months.
So tonight you'll be at the Days Inn in Mattoon, 6:30 p.m. start time, right?
That's correct.
That's Dave Hightower of the Hightower Report. Again, you can see him this evening in Mattoon at the Days Inn. The start time is 6:30. It's sponsored by TGM, open and free to the public. Speaking of open and free to the public, at 6:45, if you can't make it to Mattoon, come to Mahomet, where Dave Dickey, our Director of Agricultural Programming, will be hosting an Outlook meeting, along with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, starting at 6:45. You can see the three of them on stage, along with Dave Dickey, at the Farm Credit Services building right there in Mahomet. It's at Prairie View Road exit and Interstate 74. Really simple to get to. 6:45. Again, that one, too, is free and open to the public. A couple of places to go, one in Mahomet, one in Mattoon. Be sure you make one of those events and learn more about the agricultural markets tonight. Speaking of Dave Dickey, he's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a CFTC commissioner says that the U.S. futures regulator has shunned its responsibility to identify and fix vulnerabilities in customer protection following the collapse of futures brokerage MF Global. Scott O'Malley, a Republican commissioner, says the agency has mistakenly concentrated too much on implementing new swaps rules to comply with the 2010 Dodd-Frank law, while shortchanging efforts to restore public confidence and protect the futures marketplace. In order to restore market confidence, O'Malley says the CFTC must engage in a series of steps to increase public confidence, including that the CFTC conduct routine spot checks to make sure firms similar to MF Global are properly segregating customer accounts. The U.S. House Small Business Subcommittee on Agriculture, Energy, and Trade has scheduled a hearing for tomorrow morning to take testimony on the likely consequences of recent rules proposed by the Department of Labor pertaining to the employment of minors on farming and ranching operations. As it currently stands, minors of any age may be employed by their parents at any time in any occupation on a farm owned or operated by his or her parent. The proposed new rules would cover minors who are not employed by their parents. Among other things, the department's proposal would prevent children under 18 from being employed in the storing, marketing, and transporting of farm product raw materials. Prohibited places of employment would include county grain elevators, grain bins, silos, feedlots, stockyards, livestock exchanges, and livestock auctions. Additionally, the proposal would prohibit farm workers under the age of 16 from operating almost all power-driven equipment. A top Federal Reserve official sharply criticized the U.S. Central Bank's decision last week to telegraph ultra-low interest rates for nearly 3 more years, saying the move undermined confidence and caused confusion. Philadelphia Federal Reserve President Charles Plosser says, quote, "Monetary policy should be contingent on the economic environment and not on the calendar." The Fed's policy setting committee, citing a bleak outlook for the fragile economic recovery, said last week it expected to keep rates exceptionally low at least through late 2014. Oilseeds analyst Oil World has cut its forecast of 2012 soybean crops in Argentina and Brazil by a combined 4 million tons following drought in the two countries. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. He'll be at the Farm Credit Services building this evening in Mahomet, Illinois, for another one of our Ag Outlook meetings. Our guests this evening include Dan Zwicker, Mike Zuzolo, and Kurt Kimmel. That starts at 6:45, the Farm Credit Services building, Prairie View Road and Interstate 74. Up next, another place you might visit, but this time at least it's not tonight. On Saturday, you can head to Joliet Junior College for the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair. I'll have all the details in a moment. The Chicago Farmers were organized back in 1935. Its purpose is to advance production agriculture and agribusiness. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that provides some information, a few educational programs, and a forum for discussing issues for its members and others interested in agricultural efficiency and competitiveness in a global economy. Now, members of the Chicago Farmers, as reported on the website at www.chicagofarmers.org, are a unique blend including farmland owners, commodity traders, agribusiness leaders, farm management professionals, real estate consultants, and those from other affiliated businesses. The common thread throughout the membership is an interest in agribusiness and the promotion of agriculture in general. Saturday, February the 4th, the organization will host its annual Farmland Investment Fair. Jeff Martin is a farmer from Mount Pulaski, Illinois, and chairs the program.
It includes different seminar sessions, topics related to agriculture production, buying and selling of farmland, plus approximately 40 exhibit booths with people there related to buying, selling farmland, ag financing, anything to do with farmland.
The fair again is Saturday, the 4th of February. It'll be held at the Joliet Junior College. By the way, that's the first public community college in the United States. It was established in 1901. JCC is in Joliet, Illinois. Pre-registration on the website at chicagofarmers.org is $50. Walk-ins are welcome at $75.
Doors open at 8 a.m. and last till 2 p.m. Lunch is included in that fee. Lunch is served from 11 to 1.
Typically, Jeff Martin says about 60 to 70% of the folks attending the fair are landlords. The rest are farmers. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Total Grain Marketing in Effingham, presenting a Market Outlook meeting with David Hightower of the Hightower Report on Wednesday, February 1st at 6:30 p.m. at the Days Inn in Mattoon. David has been featured on CNN, Bloomberg Television, The Wall Street Journal, and many other industry publications.
It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. And Scott Butcher of the Andersons at the Climbers facility there in Delphi, Indiana, is with us. Hi, how are you, Scott?
Good. How are you, Todd?
How's the ethanol plant running these days? And are you having trouble getting corn?
Running fine. Not really having trouble buying corn. I think, cash levels right now are high enough that, we've seen decent movement here lately. I don't necessarily know that things really, get real carried away here, near term, just because we've got enough guys that are, thinking $7 right now. So we're not going to get run over by any means, but we are seeing enough movement.
Do you feel like that there's actually corn in the countryside? You'll be able to continue to get corn all the way through the end of the season?
Yeah, we think so. I mean, we obviously, we're at areas that were, hurt by hot weather last summer. So, yields were down in a few areas, but I think that other areas were, okay, and were, actually some areas were really good compared to, what we had to go through, I guess, to get there. So, we feel like overall, I think, things are still in pretty good shape.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn this evening, we are 663, beans 1203.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Baked Alaska Day. It's also Feast of St. Bridget of Ireland. patron of cattle, chicken farmers, and dairy maids. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, Botanical Magazine was first published in London, edited by William Curtis. In 1913, Grand Central Terminal in New York City opened. It was the largest railroad station in the world, with 44 platforms and 67 tracks on two levels. In 1939, State Assemblymen in Maine introduced a bill in the legislature to make it illegal to use tomatoes in New England clam chowder. According to some sources, the addition of tomatoes in place of milk was initially the work of Portuguese immigrants in Rhode Island, as tomato-based stews were already a traditional part of Portuguese cuisine. Scornful New Englanders called this modified version Manhattan-style clam chowder because, in their view, calling someone a New Yorker was an insult. In 1953, James Lewis Kraft died, the founder of Kraft Company. He patented, in 1916, pasteurized processed cheese, a low-cost cheese that would not spoil. While not overly popular with the public, the U.S. Army purchased over 6 million tins of it during World War I. And during the Depression, it became popular because of its low cost. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Start in South America for me, Drew. Tell me about your assessment of the crop there and the weather conditions it has been enduring and might see in the next couple of weeks.
Well, the latest soil assessment across Argentina has clearly suggested that still looking at some stressful conditions occurring from Cordoba across southern and central, even northeastern parts of Santa Fe into easternmost portions of the country from northern Entre Rios up into Corrientes. This does include probably about 45% to 50% of the main crop areas still running a little too dry. We had a lot of heat over the past week that helped to take away a lot of the moisture that had fallen from previous rainfall. Anyway, the forecast is going to be generating some improving conditions across the heart of Argentina as we go forward through this next week to 10 days, with additional rain expected across all of the major crop areas, especially those that have been driest for the longest period of time. So a gradual healing trend will likely occur. Maybe not everybody all at once, but perhaps 10 days from now, we'll be looking at a better moisture situation. In southern Brazil, the situation is one of deterioration, excluding the southern half of Rio Grande do Sul, where there will be shower and thunderstorm activity over the next few days of significance down that way. But most of the soybeans in Rio Grande are produced in the north half of the state, and that's where it's going to be dry. In fact, it'll be dry from there in Paraguay into the heart of interior southern Brazil. These areas will see a firming soil and a deteriorating crop condition, especially for Paraguay, western Paraná, and parts of northern Rio Grande do Sul. Other areas in Brazil, though, will actually benefit from drier bias conditions because we are now maturing and harvesting some of the early crop, and the drier bias conditions will certainly be welcome.
Is there any reason to be concerned or for abundance in other South American continents, whether that be Australia or Africa?
Not too much in the way of trouble in these other areas. South Africa's had a little bit of a drier bias pattern here recently, but they're doing overall very well. They're going to see timely rain coming up over the next week, so they'll be staying in fairly good condition. And in Australia, their sorghum and cotton areas have picked up on quite a bit of rainfall over the past week. They are looking very good at the moment. There's actually been a little bit of local flooding there, but it has not been detrimental to the crop. And they'll see some more rain over the next 10 days out that way. But no, I think for the most part, these southern hemisphere crop areas are doing fairly well.
And those areas in the northern hemisphere, of course, that are in the midst of their winter season, how are they setting up as we make our way into the month of February?
Well, it looks as though certainly we've got an area of concern right now, of course, across Eastern Europe and parts of Ukraine and Russia, all because of the bitter cold temperatures. These are occurring on top of very poorly established crops for Ukraine and southeastern parts of Europe, and the crops are probably going to be damaged additionally on top of the fact that the emergence and establishment was so poor in the autumn. So a much smaller crop perhaps for some of these areas. That sets us up for some concern of the spring, obviously. We have to have really good conditions to prevail at that point in time in order to support an aggressive planting to help make up for the losses of this winter. So we're going to watch that pretty closely. La Nina should be winding down this spring, and so there should be an opportunity for some improving soil moisture across some of these old, drier areas. And, of course, back here at home in the hard red winter wheat country, we're going to see one storm system coming up here Thursday night into Saturday that will bring some favorable moisture back to the region. The northern U.S. plains and Canada, though, will continue in a drier-biased environment, and that will likely persist into the early days of spring.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.